The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, and we made it to a Friday. At least some of us did. Wow, it looks like, hey, YouTube, let me know if I'm overmodulating. For some reason, it looks like my levels are really, really hot today. And I don't know why I didn't change anything. But, you know, the gremlins like to, volume is really high, right? That's weird. Honestly, I did not change anything. Hold on, I'm just trying to adjust as we go along. I did not change a single setting. All right, I need my headphones up. All right, hopefully it's not blowing your eardrums out. It is, I'm over-modulating. Why? Okay, oh, I bet this one. All right, maybe that got turned up by mistake. That should be better. All right, hopefully that's better. Better? Better. You tell me if it's better. It's a Friday, everybody. Welcome to it. What a week. Oh, my God. It should come down in a second. YouTubers, I'm watching the chat. I think I fixed the issue. It should be better. It's because I'm hot. Thank you, Pisces Bobby. All right. Well, we made it to the end of this week. At least those of us who are here did. There's, you know, a few people who didn't. Some who went to Washington, D.C. with, you know, just a little goal of overthrowing the government. They maybe didn't make it out alive. I'm a little discombobulated right now because I just watched the video posted by the Washington Post. Still sounds a little distorted, huh? No, now it sounds good. Okay. That shows when the woman who we learned was killed, who was killed by a gunshot while she attempted to break into the speaker's lobby in the Capitol, how it happened. And you know what? I'm not going to play it today. I'm not going to play it for you. I will link to it from the blog after the show. Hopefully I'll remember. And you can watch it for yourself. Today, I really sort of want to give you the latest news, tell you what's going on, but also de-stress a little bit, blow off some steam, unwind, because this has been just a horrible, horrible week. I mean, actually, you know what? Tuesday was pretty damn good. Tuesday was a good day because the Democrats both won their races in Georgia, and now the Democrats will have control of the Senate. Very, very slight control. I mean, it's going to be 50-50 with hopefully, you know, well, VP, then she will be the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Being the tiebreaker, president of the Senate. So the Senate is under Democratic rule. I guess they still have to deal with some of the rules governing how things will be brought to the floor and all that, but they'll work it out. The good news is that Mitch McConnell will no longer be the Grim Reaper, the place where House passed bills go to die, because it won't be up to him anymore. So that's good. All right. You know, let me tell a few things happened today. There's some breaking news that I need to share with you before we get into anything else. There's really kind of disturbing news today. And I'm sorry to have to start off like this because I really wasn't planning on it. But Jim Borg, B-O-U-R-G, is a photographer for the Reuters news service. It's a news wire like the AP. And he tweeted out, quote, "I heard at least three different rioters at the Capitol say that they hope to find Vice President Mike Pence and execute him by hanging him from a Capitol Hill tree as a traitor. It was a common line being repeated. Many more were just talking about how the VP should be executed." Oh, my God. As they were breaching the Capitol, breaching the building. Let me see if I can find. I've got so many different. Oh, by the way, the whole talk about hanging him. I'm guessing that's what this was for. And for those of you just listening to one of the audio streams, I am showing a noose, a gallows that was erected outside of the Capitol. There's a sign hanging on it that says, "This is art." I promise you, it's not art. And then, I thought I had it somewhere. Here it is. No. So you know what? I guess I know I have it on audio. Maybe I just didn't pull the video because it was so disturbing. Here it is. Here's a little bit of what you can hear the rioters outside the Capitol chanting. In case you can't tell, they're saying, "Hang Mike Pence." And this ostensibly began shortly after Trump tweeted out that, you know, Mike Pence was a traitor or whatever, because he didn't do what he's not constitutionally allowed to do. He couldn't overturn an election. It's insane. And then somebody else with that picture I just showed you replied to Jim Borg on Twitter and said they didn't need a tree. They literally brought a noose with them and showed that was always their intention. They were always going to commit violent insurrection. They were not shy about broadcasting it all over social media. This was entirely preventable if people paid attention. So that happened. And then there are all kinds of pictures now coming to light of some of these rioters carrying those flex cuffs. They're like zip ties that cops use now instead of handcuffs, because I guess they're lighter weight and cheaper. When I was arrested because I dared to go and billed as a town hall meeting with my then Congressman Alan West, and I dared to call him out on his vote to privatize Medicare, I was arrested. That's what they used on me, too. I didn't have handcuffs. They used a zip tie on me. But I digress. We're not talking about me today. Multiple reports have indicated that Trump White House officials were in contact with the rioters during the incident. This attempt to stop Congress from counting the electoral votes was organized on 4chan, 8chan, Parler, and similar sites such as that. And some of Trump's closest advisors, including Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Scavino, are both active on many of those sites and very, very familiar with the pro-Trump online communities and the culture they live in. As somebody wrote this, I don't know who, any competent investigator will need to look into what White House officials knew and when they knew it. So that happened. In other news, Nancy Pelosi this morning sent a letter to her colleagues saying that she spoke with Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about preventing Trump from firing nuclear weapons in the final days of his term. Good on Nancy Pelosi for doing that, because honestly, that's one of my fears. She wrote the letter, "Dear Democratic colleague, it's in a spirit of pride and with great solemnity that I write to you about the events of this past week." And then she goes through a whole bunch of things. "Thank you to members defending democracy." She says, "My deepest gratitude goes to our scholars, Congressmen Raskin, Lofgren, Schiff, and Neguse, and to the delegations of Arizona and Pennsylvania facing objections who made the case for respecting the will of the American people." She thanked the Capitol Police. And she said, "It's with great sadness that I also write to share the news that a 12-year veteran of the U.S. Capitol Police, Officer Brian Sicknick, died after defending the Capitol complex and protecting all who serve and work here. The perpetrators of Officer Sicknick's death must be brought to justice. 5 people have now died because of the act of insurrection. This is a stain on our nation's history." And then she continued, and this was really important. "While we are appreciative of the bravery of the Capitol Police, we are disappointed in the lack of leadership. For that reason, I called upon the chief of the Capitol Police to resign, and he has. I've also accepted the resignation of the House Sergeant at Arms. Chair Lofgren, Zoe Lofgren, and I will discuss on our noon caucus call how we will move forward with responding to the failures that allowed this tragedy to happen." And oh my God, if you watch the video that I just saw before coming on the air, of the moment when the woman who was killed, Ashley, I don't remember her last name, and how, honestly, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it was called for. They had to do something to stop this huge crowd of thugs from smashing through into the speaker's lobby. On the other side of the glass, you could see the members who had been on the House floor. It's terrifying. She continued, removing the president from office, saying, as you know, there's a growing momentum around the invocation of the 25th Amendment, which would allow the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to remove the president for his incitement of insurrection and the danger he still poses. Yesterday, Leader Schumer and I placed a call with Vice President Pence, and we still hope to hear from him as soon as possible with a positive answer as to whether he and the cabinet will honor their oath to the Constitution and the American people. I mentioned this to you yesterday, that they called yesterday morning to talk to Pence. They kept them holding for 25 minutes before coming back on the line to say, Mike Pence will not speak with you. To anyone who's thinking that Mike Pence has done something, heroic here, no, he hasn't. She continues, I will post the whole letter on the blog along with today's podcast and the various videos I'm going to post today so you can read the whole thing. But it goes on. She says, I'm very grateful to members for your communications regarding what you think should happen. I take your suggestions very seriously as we build consensus in our caucus as we go forward. Well, since this letter went out, Mike Pence did make it known that he would not entertain the idea of removing Donald Trump from office via the 25th Amendment, even though it's the right thing to do. So the House is moving on to articles of impeachment. And there are a couple of different drafts that have already been written. None has been agreed on yet, but there's the Ted Lieu, Jamie Raskin, I forget who's the third one in that group, draft. And there's the Ilhan Omar draft. There's a few of them. Some of them are making their way around the internet. I saw one on Twitter just a little while ago. Bottom line is nothing is going to happen until Monday, which is a real shame. Because you think things are just going to stop over the weekend? They're not. We are in a bad place. So this is where we are. This is where we are. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to play for you before we move on. No. So that kind of brings us up to date to where we are now. And I swear today I wanted to lighten the load a little bit. So coming up In the last segment of the show, an old friend will rejoin us, Deborah Newell Tornello. She goes by Litbrit on Twitter, and when she does blog, Litbrit, because she's British, but she's American now. She's a fellow Floridian, and Deborah and I have commiserated many times on the stupidity of things down here in the state that I like to call Florida, for good reason. For apparent reason. So we used to do a regular feature that I called the Oi Florida Hour, where we would mostly talk about, that proverbial Florida man. And we've got some new ones. Donald Trump is now a Florida man. Our governor, who used to be known as Ron DeSantis, but he has earned his new moniker of moron death sentence. Close, right? And we'll go into some of that. And I'm sure Deborah has some fun stories to share as well. And I will point out that I think I've found five of the creatures who tried to overthrow the government and storm the Capitol the other day are from Florida, including the brain surgeon who was photographed leaving the Capitol with the podium with the speaker's insignia on it. The stupidity is just astounding. But before we get to any of that, I have a mea culpa. All right. I screwed up, and I screwed up pretty royally. I mean, it's good when if you're going to screw up, if you're going to do something wrong, do it in grand fashion. So it was Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. And I was, just a little bit nervous, obviously, not knowing what was going to happen and hoping that for the sake of the country's future, we would get the outcome that we got. But I like to play something funny for you, because as we talk about all the time, things tend to get serious here after a while. And I like to lighten the mood a little bit, get a few laughs in before we get serious. And so I scour the interwebs for funny videos. And during the pandemic, I have found so many talented people who in their day jobs do other things, but have gotten creative making these wonderful song parodies and such. Well, in advance of the Election Day, November 3rd show, I came across videos by somebody, by a man who's, I neglected to write down the name on the account, on the YouTube account, because what I have to do to play them, the way I play them is I download them and I put them in my software that streams, and I didn't have his name. And I didn't pay attention to the name, honestly, the name being Bruce W. Oh, my God. I screwed up. Hold on. Bruce W. No, it's not Nelson, is it? Hold on. I got it. I got it right here. It is Nelson. Bruce W. Nelson. That's the name on the YouTube account. And I'm going to put it up. You're going to see it. I'm going to link to it from my blog. He also has a, you know, an alter ego that is Manji Fetlocks. Manji Fetlocks. And I'm looking at this guy and watching the video and I'm laughing out loud because it's very funny and very well done. And I'm thinking, that looks like Jeff Daniels. But nowhere in the video, in the description beneath the video, nowhere did it say this is Jeff Daniels. But he was prolific. This man, Bruce W. Nelson, is prolific. He's putting out these videos, these songs, and they're really, really good. So before we even get to my mea culpa, I want to show you how I know. I knew, I was certain. It's like, this is Jeff Daniels. So I know Jeff Daniels plays guitar and he sings and he's funny. So I was going through the internet today and I come across this video from, it's Q104 in New York. And it's Jim Kerr's morning show. And, you know, let me just throw this out there. Back in 1985, from 1985 to 1987, I worked with Jim Kerr and Shelley Sunstein, who you'll see in a moment, at WPLJ in New York. I was their producer. Well, now Jim and Shelley are at Q104.3 in New York, and they had Jeff Daniels on the show. So just for a moment, let me share this with you. Check it out. So there's
tonight,
Jim.
With your son's band, but right now you're in our studio just sitting on a stool with a guitar.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you one. I made a movie with Clint Eastwood called Bloodwork. And in the movie, Clint has a gun. And
no.
I know. And, and I'm the bad guy. And I got shot and killed by Clint Eastwood. Now, there are not a lot of actors.
Okay, he's going to sing in a second. I promise. I'm just going to give you a few seconds of it.
If you're one of the actors who got shot and killed by Clint Eastwood, you are in a select group.
That's pretty cool.
So after he shot and killed me that night, I went back to the trailer, and I wrote this.
Okay.
All right, sing, Jeff. Come on, I just want to give just a sample.
Thank you.
Okay, but you can see what he looks like, right? All right, you know what? Take my word for it. All right. So there's a little bit of Jeff Daniels. Got it? You saw what he looked like. You see he's a musician. He plays. I'm sorry I didn't play enough of it, but I'll post that video as well on the blog today after the show. So I come across this Bruce W. Nelson. And here, let me share with you a Bruce W. Nelson video that he put up today. Today, or maybe it was yesterday, but it just went up. Okay. And I think you'll understand why I made that mistake. So here's Bruce W. Nelson with a new one.
I had a request to write a song about Ted Cruz, a request I found unusual and weird. So if I must do it, I will give you some good news. Ted looked even uglier without his beard. Pretty damn hard to believe, isn't it?
Now, that was awesome, right? That was pretty fucking awesome. So I found that today because last night I awoke very early in the morning. Maybe it was late last night, to a comment on that the YouTube video of that Election Day show from Bruce W. Nelson. And I got to tell you, because I'm so stubborn, that I saw the message and I'm thinking, oh my God, Jeff Daniels is emailing me. And he's saying, that's not Jeff Daniels. I'm Bruce W. Nelson, also known as Mangy Fetlocks. And then after a while, I realized, oh shit, he is Bruce W. Nelson. And he's not Jeff Daniels. Hold on, I gotta turn this off. There we go. All right, echo's gone. Bruce W. Nelson, welcome to the show, and I am so sorry.
I don't feel sorry for me not being Jeff Daniels.
No, I'm sorry for insisting you were, because I went and watched the whole thing, and I'm like, I'm positive that's Jeff Daniels. But you look like Jeff Daniels. I'm not the first one who's told you that.
Yeah, I look more like Jeff Daniels than I look like my twin brother. Okay. My twin brother and I are fraternal twins. So a lot of times people get me and Jeff Daniels, think that we're the twins.
I can understand why. So, Bruce W. Nelson, tell us about yourself. No relation to Jeff Daniels. You just happen to be a very talented man who is a retired musician.
Yeah, I was a choir director for 41 years. I worked over in Russia for most of the last 18 years of teaching, and at an international school. So I used to play gigs for the U.S. Ambassador's Place and at the British Ambassador's Place. And I've had a really interesting life of writing, singing. I compose for choirs. Church choirs, things like that, too.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, that's another reason why I thought you were Jeff Daniels, because I read the bio that you have on your YouTube channel, and it says, Bruce W. Nelson is an American lyricist and songwriter living and working in northern Wisconsin. He spent a significant portion of his professional life in Moscow, Russia, where he was choir director at the Anglo-American School. He's published numerous works for middle and high school choir ensembles, available from reallygoodmusic.com, and around 40 songs for elementary students. While in Russia, he composed over 80 songs for his Notes from Moscow musical review and has written at least one song mentioning his brother's cat, Kitty Boy. I'm thinking, it's got to be a Jeff Daniels parody account. Because that was entertaining. But now we've disavowed ourselves of that notion. We know that Bruce W. Nelson is you. Now, who is Mangy Fetlocks?
Mangy Fetlocks was a character, the name I came up with many, many years ago. And then I started recording under that about probably 15 years ago. I used to play in rock bands and in cover bands and jazz groups. And I always said, if I ever started doing country, I was going to go by the name Mangy Fetlocks. So the whole character kind of grew out of that. And it was based on a lot of my background. I grew up on a farm. I spent a lot of time around cows. You know.
And you have your guitar in hand. Yes. People go to your YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is it's Bruce W. Nelson Mangy Fetlocks. So you have a vanity channel, so they can get there. But I will put a link to it. But again, you have a lot of videos. You're quite prolific.
Yeah, I wrote 250 songs during 2020. Most of them about Donald Trump.
Well, thank you for that, because and obviously they're along the lines of what this little song you just wrote about Ted Cruz, who was very deserving of a song like that, by the way.
Yeah, that was just a sort of the sound was bad. I was just sitting on a chair in my living room last night. It was kind of to be the second song of the morning. A lot of days I'll post two new ones. So I really stay busy. I just retired from teaching a couple years back. And now I sort of pursue my mission of making Donald Trump, if possible, look any stupider than he is. And commenting on, Ted Cruz and Jim Jordan and Kimberly Guilfoyle. I've got lots of songs about Mike Pence. Mitch McConnell has earned quite a few nice songs, like Mitch McConnell has Dutch Elm disease. And Mitch McConnell's swamp-grown, unorganic, rather toxic garden mulch. Ooh. A song about what we do with Mitch when he's gone.
Okay. That sounds so good.
Yeah, they're pretty quirky. I may be in a, what they call an acquired taste.
No, I think for my listeners, you're right there. You're right with us. Ellen H. in the chat room just wrote, Moscow Mitch is a great video Bruce did. Check it out, please. And I know that's one you sent me when I was asking you if there's anything I can promote. So I've got that, and I've got the other one that you sent along. You just did one for Josh Hawley, who's certainly...
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Certainly a deserving to be elevated to folk hero status.
Without a doubt. Well, Bruce, I can't help but notice you're sitting there with a guitar in hand. Would you grace us with a song, with a live performance?
Oh, heck yes. Yeah. Heck yes. Yeah, yeah, I just wrote one for the show, for your show today.
You did? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay. So this nobody's heard yet, except my wife.
Okay.
And this is about the Republicans. You know, they're very adamant that they couldn't vote to impeach Trump then in the Senate because they wanted the voters to decide.
Right.
So this is all about what their plan, you know, obviously carefully thought out each part of it, because okay. They really think the voters should be the one to make the call.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Here, so you... Ready for it?
Ready, ready. I'll shut up now.
Okay, here we go. Let the voters decide. So the Republicans said, we won't vote to impeach in November instead. Voters will have a choice, which we'll honor for sure. That ain't ours to decide. Do the voters defer? Let the courts make the call. In their wisdom, they'll know what the answer should be and how this all ought to go. They're an honorable folk, and the law's crystal clear. Let the courts make the call. That's what we must do here. Congress must rule on this. Voters cheated, you know. Guys like Hawley and Cruz will lead us where we must go. The deep state was in play, and the courts didn't act. There is doubt in some minds. Pence will get us on track. Let the voters speak out. There's a healthy percent that watch OANN and endorse mass dissent. We should put them in charge, for their wisdom is great. And they're breaking the doors down and not willing to wait. Let the clock simply run out. Time will be on our side. What if Trump were to tweet and go hurting our pride? He apologized once, sort of. Must he do it each day? Things all look pretty good if you'll just look away. Hey, look, it's Antifa and some immigrants and BLM causing a lot of trouble.
That's it? That's Bruce, Bruce W. Nelson, that's awesome. I must admit, when you said you were going to do an original, you know, like a special song for us, I thought you might come up with one based on my little PS to you, because when I wrote back to you, it's like, oh, I will check all these out. And you mentioned something about Ted Cruz. And I said, by the way, Ted Cruz has a penis for a nose. I thought you were going to write a dick nose song, but maybe I can look forward to that.
Well, can I do a really short one for Trump that I think would be nice?
Yeah, please do. This is a treat.
I just wrote this today, too, for this.
Wow.
Get back on your horse, 'cause it's time, Donald Trump, to head out to green pastures of grass. You have one chance to help put your horse back together, 'cause without you, it's missing its ass.
Oh, my goodness. Here, I'm sorry. You need some applause for that.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
yes,
thanks.
Yes. Bruce W. Nelson, what a treat. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for being
so nice
there.
Nice to meet you. Thanks a lot.
And thank you for your wonderful note and not being too mad at me. And I have to not be so adamant when I'm sure about something. So Bruce W. Nelson, this is, I hope, the start of a lovely friendship. I plan on featuring your music.
Oh, I hope so. I'd love to be on again and comment what's going on. I think music's a nice way to say sometimes really nasty things that have almost gotten me fired in many jobs, but gets people to laugh at stuff.
That's right. Yes, it is. And you're awesome. So I'm going to say so nice to meet you. One of the bright spots of 2021 so far. And I will play you out with the aforementioned Moscow Mitch the Musical theme song.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. So this is your most popular video yet to date?
Yeah, that's 460,000 views. So
wow. Okay. Well, it should be more than that. We need to make Bruce Nelson go viral. Thank you, Bruce. I look forward to talking to you again soon and definitely hearing
Thanks
more
so
of your
much,
music.
Nicole. Really
All
nice
right, thank
here.
You. All right. I'm going to leave you, everybody. Bruce will leave us with Moscow okay. Mitch, the musical theme song. Take it away. I think I see what I did. I'm playing it the other way. I got to do it like this. Here we go.
Howdy. This year's Mangy Fellox, the quasi-intellectual existentialist cowboy, coming to you from my my man cave, or my fully equipped recording studio, or my wife calls it my garage. And I'm here to do a little song for you today about Moscow Mitch. Been hearing a lot about him and stuff, and I've been looking into what he's been up to, and he really deserves a song in his honor, because Mitch has been standing up to the American people like nobody else. Standing up for his beliefs and his own pocketbook. So anyway, I got a little song for him today. I got my keyboards here. By the time I put the tractor in the garage, I didn't have no space for a piano bench, so I'm going to be using that as my piano bench. But, you know, it works okay, and it's portable.
Again, that is Bruce W. Nelson, a new friend of the show. How awesome is that? All right, quick timeout, and we'll come back on the other side with Deborah Newell Tornello and another round of Oi, Florida.
Oi. Fight like hell, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
They broke the glass in the United States Capitol, and now they are climbing through the window.
Let's have trial by combat. Take back our country.
Watching, folks. Choose wisely. If you just roll over, if you don't fight,
love you. You're very special.
This was a terrorist attack. Impeach and convict immediately. Impeach Trump. This is a message from Midas Touch. Here's another one.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not it. Oh, no. Hold on. I just screwed up. I almost played the new Randy Rainbow, which I will do, but not yet. All right. Sorry, I just sort of blew it. I thought we'd end the show on that. But now, because she's here and standing by, and I don't have the full theme song, we'll go for the short one. It starts here.
Boy,
This is the thing we used to do, and I'm so excited she's back. Our friend Deborah Newell Tornello, you know her as Litbrit on the Twitters and elsewhere, stuck in Florida, even though she's got a beautiful home in Ontario, Canada, that she can't go to because our borders are closed. Hey, Deborah.
How you doing, Nicole?
We're surviving. I guess that's the operative word for today.
It's in Quebec, not in Ontario.
Oh, in Quebec. I'm sorry.
I don't mind, but they probably would. They're quite, like they are here. Florida, we don't want any state to have to take responsibility for us. So
I hear you. I hear you. So they closed the border with the United States.
Yes.
But now, because we were so poorly managed, but now they're having their own outbreaks, too. Yeah.
Yes. Especially in the cities, Toronto and Montreal, overwhelmed, just like all major cities are. But in general, they've handled it a lot better. They still have much better numbers than we do.
Yeah. Well, everybody's handled it a lot better.
That's true.
You know, and I guess we should start. I started with the Oi, Florida, because this is what we're going to talk about today. You know, we've done this before where we poke fun at Florida man, the proverbial Florida man, because there are so many of them, and they're not always of the male gender. There are some women who are Florida man too. Excuse me. But I thought we should start, since, you know, we just had this coup attempt at the Capitol, and a lot of these terrorists, which is what I call them, are being identified. And there are pictures floating around. I thought I pulled the picture of this guy. I guess I didn't. The guy who...
Not mine, but you're talking about Michael Curzio of Summerfield?
No, actually. The first one I'm talking about is Adam Johnson. Adam Johnson, father of five, 36 years old, from Parrish, Florida, who traveled to D.C. from Florida with a group of a group of insurrectionists who later stormed the Capitol to oppose a peaceful transfer of power, of presidential power. Well, I don't even know where the picture would be. It's the guy, you saw him leaving the Capitol building, holding the podium with the speaker's insignia on it.
Yes, he's from Bradenton.
Well,
he's
actually from Parrish. It was in the Bradenton Herald. He was identified by the Bradenton Herald. But that's his name is Adam Johnson. He's a 36-year-old father of five, and his wife is a doctor.
Oh, no, my God. And he is a member of what brain trust, posing with that thing like, I am stealing.
He is the podium. Right. He is a Trumper, I guess a QAnon person, because it seems like all these people were QAnon people, aren't they? The man seen gleefully stealing what looks to be House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's podium is now an infamous photo from Wednesday's Capitol riot, and it's been identified by the Bradenton Herald as Adam Johnson of Parrish, Florida. Well, a lot of people have tried to contact Mr. Johnson. He doesn't answer his phone. Nobody answers his phone, but they have identified him. I just got word that allegedly he has already been arrested, but he's not alone. A Central Florida man was among those arrested Wednesday after Trump supporters breached the Capitol. Michael Curzio, that's who you mentioned, right, Deborah?
That's the one I have up, yeah.
Of Summerfield. I don't even know where that is. Do you? Summerfield, Florida?
No. I want to say it's close to northern Orlando, sort of Mount Dora area, but I could be wrong. There are a lot of small towns in Florida.
Oh, yeah. But there are a few others. So Michael Curzio of Summerfield was identified. This says he was arrested. Michael Curzio, interesting backstory on this gentleman, served 8 years in prison on a charge of attempted first-degree murder. He was released from prison in February of 2019, in case you were wondering. Capitol Police arrested five others from Florida, including John Anderson of St. Augustine and Matthew Council of Riverview, Florida. But my favorite might be Andy Williams. Andy Williams is a firefighter from Sanford, Florida, the Sanford Police Department. And if the name Sanford, Florida sounds familiar, that's where George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin. Sanford, right. Florida. So, right. Yeah, aren't you proud?
Where to even start? I mean, have you noticed, Nicole, that our illustrious politicians, I mean, Marco Rubio, and I have my Rubio water bottle here, and Rick Scott,
yeah,
really quiet. Now, I got an email from Charlie Crist, because he's my congressman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That he was, I believe he's part of the group of congressmen, which is growing and growing and growing, and congresswomen, of course, to impeach the president. I'm not sure there's time for that to actually be effective, but I suppose if it means that he can't ever hold office again, then it's worth doing.
Yes.
But there's not really a way to get the 25th Amendment invoked, because from what I understand, there aren't enough cabinet members on board.
Pence won't play ball. And, of course, you know, Elaine Chao took the chicken shit escape route by resigning rather than staying there to enact the 25th Amendment. And then, you know, I'm sorry, I laugh every time I say this, Betsy DeVos resigned. In protest of Donald Trump's behavior. Betsy DeVos.
Yeah. 13 days before he's gone. I mean, what is the point, really?
I know.
Was she hoping to salvage?
I do not know. I don't. It's not like she needed the money. Why she kept the job, I don't know. But she wanted to destroy public education in the United States. This was a bridge too far for her, as it should have been. But, you know, his other stuff wasn't. That's what.
So many
what
of them are just such utter cowards, and you know what were they waiting for? Really, what were they waiting for?
I don't know, but yeah. So you got that
I
right.
I heard on the news a little while ago, and I'm sure you did too, that they believe that these armed people were going in to go after Mike Pence, because it was when he enraged
that?
Them all by saying that he was not going to, that he would certify the votes. It
did
was just,
you hear the chanting that I played
yes.
a little while ago? Hang Mike Pence. Hang Mike Pence. And they had a gallows set up outside of the Capitol
yes.
building with a sign on it that said, this is art.
In the White House.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There are several people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't art. It was a gallows. It was a noose.
It was a really shitty knot. I mean, if that's the best hangman's noose you can come up with, you know, bravo. But still, that was chilling.
Yeah.
But the fact is that they came within one door.
Oh, I know. Well, and here's the other thing. What I mentioned
a hostage situation
at the top of the show, Deborah, and I don't know if you've seen it, but the Washington Post now has video posted on their website from the moment when that woman, that Ashley woman, was killed. And
right.
they were, it was frightening. I was scared. And you can see the cops who were guarding the door as they're banging and breaking the glass behind them. And you can see the members of Congress inside the speaker's lobby outside the House chamber. They're banging and banging. And these two cops or three cops, whoever many, a few that were standing there, you hear something and then they go out, they leave. And I'm thinking, are they just leaving to save their own lives and let them go through? Well, no, that's when we saw the cop who was inside the doors with the gun. And they kept going, they kept going. And so a shot was fired. And it unfortunately for Ashley hit her in the neck and eventually killed her. I don't know what else they could have done.
No, they I'm sure were given every opportunity to back off.
Yeah.
They were determined to get in. I read that they lifted her up because she was smaller, I suppose, to get through the broken hole in the window.
Yes. So she was going through the broken window to, yes. I'm sorry, she's trying to break into the House chambers where yes. the members are or were. They had by that time maybe been
the speaker, as far as they knew.
Yep. And now we know they had those zip tie handcuff things and
yes.
they wanted, look, they did this months ago at the Michigan State House. They were going to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and another governor, if I remember correctly. They were going to do this. And the Capitol Police and the FBI had no idea this was coming. They were prepared. I love this line. They were prepared for peaceful protests. No, that would have been if Antifa and Black Lives Matter were protesting. Yeah, they would have had peaceful protests. These are Trump's cronies. These are the QAnon crazies. These are the insurrectionists who wanted to overthrow the government.
Exactly. And look what they were met with. People dressed like traffic cops, like
yeah.
school crossing guards. Whereas when it was Black Lives Matter, it was riot cops, it was stormtroopers lining the Lincoln Memorial. When a lot of women were protesting the Kavanaugh nomination,
yes.
and they were peaceful but loud, as you are in a protest,
yep.
but
yep.
they were peaceful, and they were carting them out, cuffed, dragged
okay.
by their, you know.
I'm going to show you a video. It's a 40-second video. This was taken when people were disabled people
yes,
were protesting at the Capitol, peacefully protesting in their wheelchairs outside of House and Senate offices. I'm going to play this video for you. Just remember, we watched some of these cops yesterday helping people down the Capitol steps, opening the gates for them to come in. This is what happened when disabled Americans were protesting for the right to health care. This is what happened. They are carrying people out of their wheelchairs. They're lifting them up, disabled Americans, lifting them up and carrying them, physically removing them from the Capitol. This is sickening.
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Disgusting.
No cuts to Medicaid. Save our liberty.
That's what they're chanting. No, they're chanting, no cuts to Medicaid, save our liberty. And these cops are picking them up out of their wheelchairs and removing them from the Capitol physically. And these people were allowed in.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Do you have any Florida man stories, Deborah? Because I'm getting angry again.
I know. It's hard not to talk about this because it's huge.
I have another one if you need it. We have a Florida man who lives in the Pensacola area, the panhandle, as we call it. His name is Matt Gaetz. And for some reason, the people in that district have elected him to Congress. Matt
Again.
Gaetz, on Wednesday night, after this siege on the Capitol, when members of the Senate went, oh boy, this was bad, this was serious, Matt Gaetz kept the bullshit spewing and actually on the floor in a floor speech okay. dared to say this.
We have to have peace.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Hold on. It's oh, shoot. It's this one. You go away. It is this one.
Anger people, but people do understand the concepts of basic fairness.
Okay, I'm moving it forward.
And usurp the Constitution with extra constitutional action of some officials in some states. They fraudulently launched ballots, votes, and when that failed,
here we go.
They ran to the mailbox where this.
Oh no! They voted by mail.
Amount of votes. That could not be authenticated with true ID, with true signature match, and with true confidence for the American people. Our Article 3 courts have failed.
Never mind. I thought I had it queued up to where he said, and it wasn't us. It was Antifa. Wasn't.
That's the catch-all, scapegoat now. Blame Antifa.
Yeah.
There isn't one.
I'm Antifa. I'm anti-fascist.
Anti-fascism. Exactly. Our grandfathers who fought in World War II were Antifa.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I'd like to know where the central, where's the headquarters, you know, where's the healthcare plan? Where can we all get in on this? Are they having any meetings anywhere? Will there be cocktails?
Is there a membership card? I got pitched on a guest from some PR firm saying, we have the leader of Antifa and the leader of QAnon. And I'm like, really? What's the name of the leader of Antifa? And what is his or her email address? Because I'd really like to know who this person is. They conveniently never answered me. That's nonsense. There is not an organization called Antifa. There are people who identify as anti-fascist, and I'm one of them. Who isn't? They aren't. Yeah. Hello.
It's preposterous. Well, I do have, I pulled up this story. This is from NBC South Florida, where they did like a rundown of Florida man and Florida woman stories.
Yeah.
That seemed like a good place to start. And I was running late getting everything set up for, this is the first Zoom thing I've done other than I did one homeowners association.
I'm sorry. I hope this is more fun.
It's a lot more fun. You can't swear on that one, but
no, you can hear. So, yeah.
But you have no choice when talking about American politics.
No shit, right?
Swear. Okay. A Florida woman, this is in January. So let's start with January of 2020 now. The year that we thought was the worst year ever. And so far, this last week of the first, 2021, what?
Yeah, really.
But anyway, started the year off strong when she was arrested after authorities said she threw a bucket of feces at her roommate. The woman claimed she was going to throw a bucket of water, but got the two buckets confused.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But you know what? I had to that's a tip. That's a good Florida story.
Yeah,
but
that's classic
Florida. Do you know what else we learned today? What happened? What these insurrectionists did at the Capitol building? They shat in the hallways and they spread the shit all over the offices. They stepped in it and tracked it into the various offices. They wiped it on the buildings.
Are you kidding me? This is the first I've heard of it. That's disgusting.
They are disgusting. These are Donald Trump's followers. Know. Yep.
Just, wow.
Yeah. Nice, right? Yeah. Thought you'd enjoy that. Sorry, you just reminded me. Look at all the things we learned today.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, on that note.
You want to go
to February?
I mean, go to February, because I also have another one. We have another Florida man, and I'm not even talking about Donald Trump, who's now allegedly living in Florida, although the town of Palm Beach is trying to evict him. They want Mar-a-Lago shut down, and they don't want Donald Trump to be able to live there, because that's part of the bylaws when he got the waivers to do whatever, he turn it into a private club.
Mar-a-Lago is not a residence.
It's not a residence.
It's a club and a hotel, and he can't spend more than 10 days there.
He already has. So he's overstaying his welcome, and they're trying to turn that around. So there's that. But the other Florida man is the guy who was elected governor for some reason, whose given name I understand was Ron DeSantis, but he's morphed into this new Florida man whose name is Moron Death Sentence. Yeah. And the thing is, he doesn't have a medical degree. And I feel compelled to tell you that before I read this. This is a report from a Channel 35 in Orlando. Governor Ron Death Sentence strongly reaffirmed his opposition to local government officials' attempts to impose their own rules to curb the spread of COVID-19, saying Wednesday that such measures are, quote, not effective. Masks and social, says DeSantis reiterated his position that mandates, lockdowns and fines for violating mask restrictions don't work. We, quote, we will categorically not allow any local government to lock down people. We will not let any local government kick anybody out of their job. We will not let any local government fine individual Floridians. We will not let any government shut down local schools. And we're not going to let any local government do those things. Also, you can't enforce a mask mandate. You can't put one into effect. You can't tell your people you have to wear a mask when you're out in public, because Ron Death Sentence, who is not a doctor, says that's not effective.
Our mayor in St. Petersburg, Mayor Rick Kreisman, terrific mayor. He's I really like him, and he was reelected because he does a good job. On his Facebook page, a couple of people were complaining about the fact that there were no masks when they went into the grocery store. They saw people walking around without masks, and he doesn't normally get into a back and forth on social media. He just sort of takes it all, reads it, and but he did respond, and he said, "Please direct your complaint to this office," and he put the governor's office.
As it should.
He can't. He's basically had his hands tied, as have the mayor of Miami
Beach, who's a good progressive.
Miami Beach.
Yep.
Right. Any mayor that is trying to help in this unprecedented health crisis is being muzzled, is being handcuffed, is being prevented from doing so.
Yep.
And to what end? What is he trying to achieve? He's trying to kill his constituents. I mean, that's what he's doing.
Right. And did you hear the exchange between him and that CNN reporter the other day?
Yes.
He did his best.
Unbelievable.
Okay, well, I got to find it. So give me 1 second, because I'm like an idiot. I didn't pull it today. But I will find it. So the CNN was out. Do I have it in here?
You PM'd it to me on Twitter.
I know. No, I have it in my CNN reporter. I don't know what day it was. Do you remember if it was before the new year or not? Let me see if I can find it here. It's live radio, everybody. Hold on. Oh, I did. I sent it to you in a private message. So maybe if I find...
Pull it up right now. Hang on a second. Okay. It was...
Here we go. I found you.
Just Google CNN Rosa Flores.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Google CNN Rosa Flores, Ron DeSantis. Oh, I sent it to you. I don't know where it is. I'm not going to have time because we got 2 minutes left. People have heard it. He berates her. He pulls a Donald Trump because he thinks he's Donald Trump. And he's like, started to ask a question about why the vaccination rollout was so flawed. And he tried to, he jumped in and she said, "Please let me finish my question." And he's like, "You're not. You're making a speech." And then she's like, "No, I want to finish my question." And she started it again. And he's like, "Oh, so now you're repeating your question. You just want to give a speech." It was the most reprehensible thing. He is a piece of shit.
He has really learned at the knee of his idol. And it's sickening.
It really is. I'm sorry I didn't pull that today. I should have.
And then, of course, what they did with Rebecca tearing into her home. And
the woman who was, she was a data analyst for the Florida Health Department, giving out accurate information about the numbers of infections, of cases, of hospitalizations, of deaths.
She refused to manipulate the data to make it look less terrible. And felt sick about it, and eventually resigned. And she put up her own website, which is a very useful. I'm sure you've already been on it. The whole dashboard and information, and her Twitter feed is packed with information about where to find vaccination programs. There was nowhere else to find that information. County by county, where to look. Here are the links. Here are the websites.
No, and she did it. And for her troubles, they raided her home. They pulled guns on her children and husband. And it's astounding. This is what Donald Trump has wrought. This is what he's brought forth. And I got to tell you, right now, I have the live counter on the website, 11 days, 18 hours, 13 minutes, 37 seconds. But you know what? That's 11 days too many. And I worry that Pelosi and company are not going to introduce articles of impeachment until Monday. He can do a whole lot of damage between now and then. Though Pelosi did say she spoke with Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that he told her, assured her, there are protections in place, that they're not going to allow him to do something reckless and stupid. And
let's say the bad word, the nuclear codes. My mom, bless her heart, is very funny. She said they've probably given him one of those Fisher-Price My First Nuclear Codes little keyboards and told him that that's how you push the button, just to keep him quiet.
And I would say that if there were still people around him who I trusted were adults. He's gotten rid of all of them and replaced them with his cronies, which is frightening. 11 days. Hopefully it's only 2 days. Let's get him the hell out of there. Right? Fingers crossed. Deborah Newell Tornello. Find her on the Twitters at Litbrit. And don't forget our new friend, Bruce W. Nelson. I will put a link to his YouTube channel on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. It'll be NicoleSandler.com/1-8-21 because that's today's date. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. And
you have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye, Deborah.
Happy
great
new
to see
year.
You. Happy New Year to you, too.
And remember, I love you. You're very special.
You too. And you, we'll see you Monday. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Be safe. Wear a mask. Stay home.